This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, Nadpoles. Caldwell here to talk to you about Hero Forge, the best place to get fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. I actually just built a version of my Underdark Gnome Illusion Wizard, Kraslo, for use in a home game my friend has been running, and it was incredibly fun getting to scroll through all the options and details to bring this mage-handed menace to life. Their easy-to-use design tools let you build your perfect miniature online using a fully 3D, in-depth character creator right in your browser. Oh, and before you ask, yes, Hero Forge has goggles, and yes, Kraslo is wearing them. So, if you've been thinking about splurging on a miniature for your D&D campaign, wait no longer, because May 2nd to May 9th, Hero Forge is having a spring sale. You can get 10% off all physical miniatures and free shipping, including international shipping, on all orders. The figures are tiny, but the savings are huge. To take advantage of this great offer, visit HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature today, and check back often because new content is added every week. Ooh, good to know. Kraslo just got a hat of vermin in the campaign, and I really want to find an annoying top hat for him to wear to represent that. In the meantime, that's it from me. Thanks for listening, and happy forging.
Greetings, goblins and ghouls. It's your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy. On behalf of the party, I wanted to thank you. We are overwhelmed with the response. The fan art is so cool. Guys, in the future, use hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD, so we can have it all in one place. And everybody check out our subreddit, R Not Another D&D Podcast. That's D, the letter N, D Podcast. As of right this moment, we already have 225 reviews, which is a great start. So tell you what, if you guys can get us up to 400 reviews, we'll release a bonus episode where we will answer your questions about backstory or the characters or the adventure so far or D&D in general, whatever you want. Additionally, we're going to start doing shout-outs for the people who give us 5-star reviews, and that'll start next week. At the end of the episode, the party will do shout-outs for all our new 5-star reviews in character, so be sure to include which character you want to receive your shout-out from. Great, now let me give you guys a quick recap of what happened last week. In future episodes, I'll do recaps with the whole crew so that they can comment, but we didn't do that this session, so I'll do it real quick here. Hard One, Beverly, and Moonshine showed up to the fishing village of Moonstone and met at the Hungry Trout Tavern. They were alerted by Beverly's scoutmaster, Denny, that his troop, the Green Teens, were captured by bullywugs and dragged into a nearby swamp. But before they could go off to save them, they got into a bar fight with some barbarians who have been wreaking havoc on the town. The party bravely decapitated the brutes, then were aided by Mishka, the half-orc bartender, in hiding the bodies, and that's where we find ourselves now. Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is Not Another D&D Podcast.
Welcome back to the realm of Bahumia. I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz, Caldwell Tanner, and Emily Axford.
Who's Emily Axford? I'm Moonshine Sabin.
Ooh. And I'm Hard One Surefoot.
Hello, sirs and ma'ams. It's me, Beverly.
Ever proper.
Beverly beheaded someone last week.
Yeah. In self-defense.
If I may, I believe we all took a chance at beheading someone.
Everyone does have one beheading under their belt, except for Hard One, who has two.
Hard One has two, yeah.
Moonshine's was already dead, so the,
right.
My second beheading was more of an execution.
Yes, Beverly did aid in an execution.
I politely requested that you not execute the man. I had already gotten my required beheading for my self-defense merit patch, but my scoutmaster knows best. And proceeded.
He calls me the Scoutmaster.
Yeah. Scoutmaster Denny made you a temporary Scoutmaster.
Yeah, we're both. Remember, I hopped a loogie and slapped my...
I'm so
add that to my list
lucky.
Of, like, Pride of the Mountain. Scoutmaster.
Yeah.
Before I had but one Scoutmaster. Now I have three. Oh, lucky day.
Okay, yeah. So you guys beheaded these barbarians that you got into a bar fight with.
Oh, correct. Barbarian bar fight. That's what
after
it comes
after
from.
Killing them outside. After killing two of them outside of the tavern.
I think that's where the word barbarian comes from. It's actually
bar fight.
Bar fight.
Yeah.
it's short for bar fightarian.
Bar fightarian. Perfect.
These bears in a bar.
So you guys killed these barbarians that were fleeing. You executed. You executed fleeing men.
I feel like I should point something out about Moonshine Saibin, which is that when she is in symbiotic entity mode, she has a savageness and she loses all of her crit hospitality.
How? Sort of a crud lust.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it, yes. That's nice.
That's very good.
You like it?
Or sludge also, lust.
About, oh, like, sludge
she
lust.
She gets a sludge
your
lust.
Your hospitality sort of like took a new shape too. Like you had to be hospitable to Beverly and me and like all of your new friends.
Yes.
Like, these people are trying to kill us.
Yeah.
The most polite thing that you could do is kill them first.
Yeah. I turn into like a sort of like a spore. I have a spore mentality and you guys are part of my fungal network.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I'm defending the fungal network. So
that's your maternal instinct kicking in that you probably hate.
You've infected us with your spores.
Yes.
But just like at a surface level so you know where we are and you can track us, but you haven't infected us properly.
Oh, DM, can I secretly put some spores on all of them so
God.
I can always
Give
track
a
them?
Sleight of hand not, check, I guess.
Not a secret now, I suppose.
A stealth check? What do you got there?
But I'm asking you before I do that, if I secretly put some spores on them, could I have like advantage on tracking them in the future?
Perhaps.
If we
we'll
go
see.
Rogue.
We'll depending on the situation. Yeah.
We have to be careful how we brand this thing, because if you think about it, we just killed a bunch of people that asked us to buy them a drink, and that's summarily executed guy fleeing.
Yeah, so here's where we're at right now. There's some beheaded barbarians that Mishka, the half-orc bartender, and some of the fishermen that were also in the bar kind of helped you pull inside. They helped clean up the tavern. They're clearly tired of being pushed around by these barbarians as well, so they help you clean up after your murder. So you guys are standing in this now cleaned up tavern. Mishka's just closed the door. It's you guys, the three fishermen, and the old bard who is there. And Mishka, you know, she's got these scars all down the left side of her face. Mm-hmm. She's all burned up.
Real quick, I'd like to say, hey, Mishka, real quick, I just kind of wanted to know who these people are. So I just hold up their heads one by one and ask their names.
She looks at the head of the main dude, the bigger guy who gave you guys some problems. And she says, that one's name is Kruk.
Kruk.
Or his name was Kruk.
Kruk. Okay.
He doesn't have a use for names anymore, I guess.
Is that with a U?
Well, you know, death is kind of cycle of life, so he'll be back in his own way. It's maybe one. As a tree.
Aw, yeah.
Or a giant mushroom.
You see, she walks over and she pulls open his mouth and she shows you guys that he's lost a bunch of his teeth. And she does the same with the other two barbarians. And she says,
that's nothing.
They're called the Crack Tooth Clan.
Ooh.
They've scared off the citizen militia and the barbarians pretty much run the town now.
Well, we just killed their leader, right?
Was it their leader?
Was this their leader? Was Kruk the leader?
Kruk is not the leader.
Shit.
Oh. He was pretty powerful.
Yeah, he was hard to kill.
The leader is one they call Goresh. He is living in the mayor's old house.
Is
they
that
ran
with a,
the mayor out of town.
Is that with a G?
I don't... They didn't spell it for me.
Okay, I'll just guess. I'll just do my best.
Oh, wow. Look at that script. So he's writing in calligraphy.
Who are you afraid of? Is it the Bollywogs?
I'm not afraid of the Bollywogs.
And you see the old bard comes up and goes, Mishka here fought a dragon.
Oh,
what?
Oh, is that where the scar came from?
I didn't notice
the scar. I definitely
thought
it was a cookie accident.
I can't see it. I
assume maybe you flipped a fish too
see,
energetically.
She has like one blind, completely white, milky eye. Hard one like is pretending not to look at it.
Oh, I see something maybe small. I don't know.
And she goes, yes, it is true. Before the heroes came, a band of us here from the village tried to face the dragon. And I was the only one who survived.
Beverly thinks about asking about dragon genitals, but says nothing.
See, as you start to pipe up.
He blushes slightly.
Scoutmaster Denny's just like, hold on there now, but
I pull out my book about dragon anatomy.
You're starting to like point to the dick and ask about it.
Slowly pushes the book down.
Well, I mean, I'd say Mishka. I heard you that some bullywogs took up some scout youngins, and we're probably gonna go save them because bullywogs. I mean, we got bullywogs down by the creek. They come up about knee high.
As a green teen, I'm loyal to my fellow green teens, and I must rescue them. It is my sacred charge, as provided by my three scout masters.
Yeah, and this guy gave me a bunch of gold, so I was gonna go too.
And I got a green tea. Yeah,
fine, Scoutmaster, indeed you are, Mr. Hard One.
Thank you.
I'm proud to serve under your allegiance.
You see, Mishka turns to Scoutmaster Denny in disgust. she goes, "You should have never brought them out onto the bay.
That's where they are."
But that's where the moonstone is.
They shouldn't have gone out there with this little coward.
But that's where
they see. Scoutmaster Denny just says, to be honest, she's correct. We should not have gone out.
But this is where
I just swam back as soon as I saw them.
Yo, moonshine.
You raise your finger like, "I object to be called a coward."
But this is where the jamboree is. Surely you heard about it. There's a lot of flyers up.
The jamboree was canceled.
People keep
super
saying that.
Canceled.
And I guess I'm having trouble accepting it, but... Well, maybe if we can get the scouts back from the clutches of these nasty bullywogs, the jamboree could be back on, because I'm sure it would be a great source of economic growth for the town.
You know, I've got a washboard and two pieces of leaves. I can put on a one-woman show for that jamboree.
Perhaps you should help these the green teens before they're ritualistically sacrificed.
Oh yeah, he mentioned that. We should go do that.
Now I love a ritual, but sacrifice is no good. Let's go, gang.
Are we gonna need a boat for this, or can we kind of just wade?
You can take one of the boats down at the dock. That's probably the fastest way around. Or you can walk north around the bay and get to the swamp.
Boat. We gotta go boat, right?
Yeah, definitely boat.
I do have my boat merit patch, so I would happily steer the boat for you.
Now, does that mean you've been in a boat or you've seen a boat?
I have read a book. I've read three books about boats.
Don't worry.
So to be clear, he hasn't even seen a boat.
Because you got your bollywog patch because you dissected a bollywog, not because you fought one or have seen one.
Stared intently at one. Yes, this is true.
Great. And you've also stared intently at a blueprint.
Galateron is landlocked.
Right.
It's easy. I'll just put Pawpaw out the back of the boat, and he can kind of kick and just like be like a little engine to move us along, propel us along.
I was raised inside a mountain, so that sounds fine to me. If that's what a boat is, let's do it.
I'm just so excited to see a boat.
Sounds good.
Mishka just shakes her head and she says,
"You might want to stop by the temple and talk to one of the druids before you go. They might be able to help you, heal you up, maybe give you something for your journey."
Okay.
Let's go see that guy. I have a super deep axe wound in my shoulder.
You are bleeding quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yes,
also,
you're very hurt.
As a druid, would love to hang out with a couple other druids, maybe swap stories, runes, whatnot.
Yeah, as an aspiring green knight, I'm always happy to learn from a druid.
Just so you know, she's going to be so angry that you're here, because she already told this one, and she points to Scoutmaster Denny, that the jamboree was canceled and that he shouldn't go out on the bay, but then he went out on the bay, and now a bunch of kids are missing. Cool. And Scoutmaster Denny goes like, "Yeah, that's right."
And raising his one second, "That is true."
I'm so excited for my first mission to save the jamboree.
So Scoutmaster Denny goes, "I can show you the way to the temple if you guys want."
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. That'd be great.
Mishka looks at you guys as she like opens the door to let you out, and she says,
"The barbarians probably won't notice that Kruk is gone for the night. He's a drunken idiot. It's not unheard of that he would
drunken idiot.
Get
so
drunk.
Not their most powerful.
No, not
leader.
Even close.
Okay. Huh. Okay. Even though he was like real powerful, though.
That guy was.
So
like
these
close.
Men that you killed, they might not notice them missing for 12, 16, 18 hours a day.
The green
but they will notice eventually, and they will come asking.
The Green Teen Handbook likes to use the term mortally corrected, not killed. Just please, if you don't mind.
You see, she just turns from Beverly and just turns right to Hard One, completely ignoring him.
Hard One nods. That makes sense.
Okay, they both nod. And then Scoutmaster Denny just goes like, "All right, campers of the light, let's go.
Hooray."
Only
all right,
Beverly
I don't know about
it.
This guy.
Only Beverly.
I'll take the rear.
He's Scoutmaster Jenny and Beverly start like marching off. They link arms and start walking off. And Hard One and Moonshot are just so disgusted.
I think we start marching off, and then I like turn back around and I'm like, come on, come on.
I put Papa on his leash.
Good,
I say,
good.
I'm sorry, Papa, but things gotten dangerous. You need to get hitched.
Papa's just like scrambling, foaming at the mouth, trying to just running the full length. He's going crazier now that he's on a leash. He's running like the full length of his leash and just yanking at it.
Yeah, it's like a viny straitjacket that I strap
so
him into.
So we're going to a temple or...
Yes, it's a temple to Melora. Oh, this is good. I was actually preparing some things to teach you, but I never had a chance because the green teens disappeared.
I pull out my notebook.
Of course.
Hard One just rubs his forehead so hard. Just can't believe. This is, you know, you could have sided with the barbarians, but you made your bed.
This is my crew.
And now you gotta lay. Now you gotta lay in it. So Scoutmaster Jenny
goes
like,
but remember, I'm hot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm attractive.
That's what I keep on reminding myself.
Reminder.
She's covered in mushrooms, but she might take a shower at some point. She might take a shower and the spores might come off. I don't know. So Scoutmaster Denny says, now the druids here, the town is run by a druid circle and a town council. That is the mayor and a group of people within the town who help make decisions. Now, as we know, the mayor was run out of town by the barbarians, but there's still a druid circle. Now, the Mother Thistle is at the head of the druid circle, but I did not get to talk to her because when I went to the temple, Shay, who is part of the druid circle, told me to leave and said that the jamboree was canceled. So now we're going to go back to that temple.
And then they also told you not to go out onto the bay. And they told kids.
That is yes, yeah, yes. They told me not to do that.
Why did the Bollywog spare you?
Oh, I ran. I ran as soon as I saw them. I just jumped on my own boat and I left the teens. I left those teens by themselves.
You are a craven man.
I gotta be honest. I don't think I treat the youngins that way.
I'm more of a tour guide than a paladin, really.
It's true that a green teen is taught never to run, even especially when his friends are being left behind.
You know what? And that's just why you're going to make a great junior green knight. I'm testing you.
No, oh, God.
These are your new scout masters. They're the ones that are going to take
just
you
Just so you know, we
swamp.
Weren't part of this.
So we're going to take you. I'm going to take you
this guy.
To a temple of Melora. Now, Melora is the god of nature. Yes?
Maybe when you drop us off, go get a drink and go to bed.
Are you sure? Okay, well...
I think they might not want to see your face.
Yeah, okay. I'm thinking that you might make us look worse if you come with us.
You see, he holds up his finger. That is absolutely right.
Yeah, okay.
The lady druid Shay said that she did not like me and that I was a coward. And to not take those teens anywhere near the bay. And what did I do? I took them near the bay.
And then you ran away when the ball...
And then I did run away.
And you ditched them. Okay.
But yes.
Okay, real quick, I take out a straw hat and I say, just put this on and sort of like pull it over your eyes so no one recognizes you.
Yes, ma'am. And you see Scoutmaster Danny puts the straw hat over his face and he starts leading you guys down to the temple.
As we're walking, I whisper to him, I forgive you.
Thank you so much, because I don't forgive myself.
You shouldn't.
That's dark.
So he takes you guys to this round stone structure that's kind of like a dome, mm-hmm. and it's completely covered in moss and flowers, and you see a little hut next to it, which you can assume is probably Thistle's like original hut, and now there's a temple next to it.
I pluck a little bit of moss and eat it.
It tastes like grass. It tastes
actually,
like dirt.
Actually,
grass.
I just chew on it.
Sure, you just start chewing.
I would like to.
Scoutmaster Denny turns to you and just goes like, "Please don't do that in the swamp. Just eating anything."
Do I know anything about like the history of this as a green teen?
You would know that this was a temple to Melora, who is the nature god, sort of the neutral god who, you know, was kind of just like, come what may, there are, you know, predators and there are prey. Oh,
nature
I just,
is
I just
chaos,
rhymed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of neither good nor bad, just more like of the land.
What about...
And you know that there is also a little... a little structure that is for Pelor, which is your god, the god of farming and agriculture and the light.
Nice
and
of him
the
sun. Nice of him to acknowledge.
So that's in the back.
Who's my god? I have a question. Oh, go ahead.
I have a question. How much would I know? Would I know, as like a druid, a Crick Elf druid, would I know Melora?
You would definitely know Melora.
And who's my god?
Probably Melora.
Oh, nice. Great. Coming home.
Do I have a god?
You would probably worship a dwarven god. Moradin is the creator dwarf guy.
I think as we're walking up to this...
Moradin.
Moradin.
Okay, so if we're going, if this is my god, I take a fingerful of mud and I make the shape of Melora on my forehead.
Okay,
the
cool. Shape? It's like a wave is her symbol.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I draw, so just, and I draw it on your forehead too.
I just shut my eyes in frustration.
So you see Scoutmaster Denny bows, just this little halfling bow, just this stupid coward in a straw hat, just bows and points to the temple and goes, as you requested, I will not follow you inside.
Yeah, go get a good night's sleep.
Okay, good night, everyone. If you don't come back tomorrow, I'll try to pay a hunter to find your bodies.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
I hope he can't rest that well.
I hope he honestly...
I hope he has at least a hard time falling asleep.
Scoutmaster Denny still has like a skip in his step. You can tell he's like totally...
falls asleep as soon as he hits the pillow.
I kind of hope
you
he...
shouldn't know this as not the DM, but he does fall asleep as soon as he hits the pillow.
I kind of hope he just like leaves town and goes to another town and just starts like an after school program and does something else with his life.
Oh, do you have any references? Nope.
Denny definitely fails up. Career wise,
he definitely also has a rich dad. He's definitely a like 22-year-old junior Green Knight when he should be a hero by now.
He should definitely
he
be
so much gold to pay.
He didn't have a lot of gold. He's a coward. He's a coward. I don't know what else to say.
Straight up.
So you guys are now. So Denny with a skip in his step just skips away, and you guys are now standing in front of this little temple of Melora. There's no door. It's just open.
As he's leaving, I say, "Our dads are friends."
That's right.
Bye. All right.
So as I go in, I take my two blades of grass and I begin to play a song to Melora in Melora's honor.
Oh my god. Roll a performance check.
Hell yeah. Oh shit. I believe I should have some kind of I'm proficient in my musical instrument.
Are you?
Though. Yeah. I have a tool proficiency in a musical instrument.
Oh, sweet.
So what do I add? So oh, I add like, my proficiency bonus. Okay.
Your character.
Ooh,
baby, 21.
Oh, dude,
21
brings the house down.
She plays this. She pulls up two grass blades to her lips.
Like, hey, what are you doing?
And she's been a fucking nutcase at this point. She's got a possum on a leash, just going absolutely nuts. She just ate a handful of moss. She starts playing Hard One. Since you live with the dwarves, so they're not like as musical or sentimental, and halflings like enjoy a good tune.
Oh, sure. I think that I would probably accompany her with my angelic boy voice.
Sure. So these two just start singing a beautiful duet. He's singing about Pelor, and she's playing this beautiful. It sounds like
Pelor
a flute.
And Melora,
so nothing
they
like
dance
that.
Nothing like this. It sounds beautiful. It's one of the most, probably the most beautiful song you've ever heard. As
is
you
it
guys
affecting
enter
animals
this,
as we walk by?
There are no animals out.
Except
but
for Pawpaw.
You can see there are like flowers and stuff.
You're
in
really
the yeah no
Pawpaw.
Yeah. Pawpaw, calm down.
Oh yeah.
Pawpaw, calm down, and he like got up and he's furiously licking your face.
This song,
and it is really hard for you to play and maintain concentration because
this song
Pawpaw
is called,
just going in on that cheek.
Yeah, it's called Pawpaw's Melody, Pawpaw's Lullaby.
So you guys enter the temple, and as you step inside, you see moonlight shining from the top of like the domed roof. There's like a circular window at the top that lets light shine down onto
Can
the floor
I
of the temple.
Can I sparkle in moonlight?
You can go step under the moonlight.
Yeah,
and
probably.
You would look pretty majestic.
Sure, it's bouncing off the shrooms.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
You're dewy.
So the moon light bounces off the shrooms, making moonshine just look radiant.
Yeah.
So like, under, damn, she is really hot.
Yeah, Hard One's like, shit, if she took a shower.
Beverly is uncomfortable and washes his hands.
Beverly just goes to like a holy fountain and starts washing his hands like he's taking a bath.
Muttering
he just takes a bath in a bird fountain.
Penance.
Okay, so you guys see that, like, under this window that's shining moonlight, there is, like, a garden on the floor of the temple. Ooh. With, like, soft green grass and flowers.
Oh,
there are beautiful wooden bookshelves along the walls and, like, various tables with, like, scrolls and potions. And then there's an altar below a hanging tapestry with the wave-like symbol of Melora. And you see a white-haired, ageless-looking druid woman, like a yoga mom, I would say.
This is okay, my like a freaking yoga mom dream, to be white-haired and ageless.
So she's white-haired and ageless, and she's meditating in the moonlight.
Right.
Oh, even as you guys play this song and everything, she's just paying you
is
no
this
mind.
Just the moon juice woman?
I have to be, yeah.
Moon juice
this
woman?
Is the moon juice woman. Like
Emily knows what I'm talking
LA
about.
LA moon juice, like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes, yeah, this, she is Goop.
Okay, so.
Is that her name?
No.
Coming into this, I
They told you that her name was Shay.
Yeah.
Coming into this, I did not know Moonshine's sexuality, but Moonshine is desperately attractive.
Sure.
Her ovaries are like, she can feel them throbbing against her stomach.
Wow. Thrumming and throbbing.
Does that play into, like, your fertileness?
Yeah.
I like to imagine they're, like, cartoon.
They're just, like, releasing eggs at looking at her.
They're just, like, cartoon maracas.
Yeah. So you guys show up, and Moonshine is just, everyone's just lustily looking at this druid woman who's meditating on the ground.
Everyone's just horny.
Yeah, everyone's just standing there. Everyone's standing there very horny.
Two episodes in, we're already horny.
Yeah.
Totally forgot about
Yeah, Moonshine, why don't you go ahead and roll for horniness, see how horny you are?
Yeah.
11.
What do I add to that? Charisma?
Yeah.
And I'm also proficient in it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, shit. Proficient
I'm
horny.
Gonna be 15.
That's a 15. Okay,
that's
she's pretty horny.
Horny.
Okay, as Beverly takes a bath in the bird bath, washing his hands.
And my feet.
And you see she's meditating, and without opening her eyes, she says, I told you kids the jamboree was canceled.
We're here to save the jamboree.
Okay. Actually, hi, Moonshine Sabin, a friend of the fungus, lover of decay. We're actually here because we're going to save the youngins from the Bollywogs.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm not here for the jamboree.
We've been charged with a sacred quest to save my fellow green teens.
You see, she opens her eyes.
Uh-huh.
She's still sitting with her legs crossed, and she says, what do you mean they got taken by bullywugs? I told that little idiot not to take them anywhere near the bank.
He took them very close to the bank so that he could teach them about the moonstone.
Don't worry about him, though. He's fine. He ran away.
Cut to Scoutmaster Denny sleeping in one of the rooms above the Hungry Crowd Inn.
With a hot milk next to his. He just, like, really enjoyed himself.
He definitely is wearing a sleeping
in,
dream.
He's staying in the biggest room of the king bed because his dad's so rich.
So feathery. He's wearing a nightcap. Absolutely. He's got a little, like, candle next to his bed that he's blowing out.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have come here seeking healing and supplies for our journey to save the jamboree.
Save the kids.
The youngins. We're here
you
for
can
the
still
youngins.
Cancel the jamboree.
The jamboree will be saved.
You see, she turns once again, just turns away from the other two and just looks right at Hard One and says,
no, I was saying we're saving the youngins.
Okay.
I'm on your side, girl.
Right.
Hi, fellow worshiper of Melora. I reach out my hand.
She reluctantly takes your hand.
I hold it too long. I hold it.
She
I
gets
start,
some spores on her hand.
My hand starts crawling up her
wrist. Oh, my
wrist.
God. She pulls back.
I offer her some, like, hand tonic to clean. It's the fantasy equivalent of, like, sanitation gel.
Sure.
I hand her some of that to clean her hand.
Do, like, a persuasion check.
Okay, I have a +6 in persuasion.
See if this woman like you.
All right. 18 plus 6.
Oh, dope. Okay. Yeah. So
Murph?
Yeah?
I'm a very good boy.
Beverly is a very good boy.
Yeah.
So you see she turns and you hand her some, like, hand sanitizer.
I think it's like an aloe leaf.
Okay, you hand her an aloe leaf and she breaks and laughs and she tussles your hair and she says, child, I'm a druid of Melora. I don't need to wash my hands. I'm okay with it.
Okay, I just, they look dirty.
It's kind of gross.
Okay. Now, I'm
rolling around in the mud in the corner.
Okay. Once again, she just turns the Hard One. No, she turns the Hard One
talks
in Beverly.
The adult in the room.
Rolling in the mud. She says, I need to be here to protect the people of this town. especially with the barbarian, so I can't go with you into the swamp. But if there are children in trouble, I will help you as best I can. Awesome. And you see, she heals you guys fully. She's a powerful enough druid that...
How does she heal? Nice. Is it like distance or touch?
You please. Want to touch so bad.
She heals Beverly by touch, she heals Hardwood by touch, and she heals you by distance.
I'm like, oh, I think I might not be fully healed. Maybe you want to do one of those touch heals on me?
Beverly does not like the touch.
Oh, God. Okay, so she looks at you guys and she says, I can give you some things that will... help you on your journey, but please be careful while you're out there. There's worse in that swamp than bullywugs.
Like, shit.
Like what?
Like what's worse than, like, two bullywugs?
There are many bullywugs.
Okay.
There is, they usually have a king of some sort, some type of shaman.
Yeah.
There what? Are trolls in the swamp.
Nothing
there
like are, crick bullywugs.
I don't know what the bullywugs are like in the crick, but out
about
here,
knee-high.
They're taller knee-high. Than knee-high here.
Oh. Okay.
I'm knee-high.
You are knee-high, little one. Huh. You're a very good boy. And she tussles your
head. Got knee-high. They make a lot of noise at night. It's kind of annoying.
Sure. Well, I'll give you these to help you get across the bay quickly. And she hands you these three scrolls. These are scrolls of water walking.
Ooh.
They let you walk on water for like
Whoa.
20 minutes. She hands you guys scrolls of water walking. And she also gives you guys each a potion of healing.
That's awesome.
Write that down.
So you guys are all healed up to full health.
Can I would like to just take her aside. I'm not going to do anything creepy.
Sure.
I'm just saying, I come bearing the spore of the crick. And I'm trying to sort of spread it, to spread our word, spread our message, spread our people. We're a hospitable people. I would love to plant just, you know, a handful of spores in this beautiful garden.
You're more than welcome to leave your mark.
Thank you so much.
I approach her with I have a little booklet that is labeled Interfaith Relationships. And I say, I'm working on my interfaith relationships merit patch. Could you please sign this to say that I have communed with a hostess of Melora? As a representative of Pelora, it is important for our two faiths to intermingle and work together.
Absolutely.
Yes!
And she says, who should I make this out to? What's your name?
My name is Beverly. Beverly Togold the Fifth.
Beverly Togold the Fifth. She signs your little book.
Beverly, I have to sign that too as your scoutmaster.
Could you please? Yeah, everyone needs to sign this. Everyone sign it, please.
Oh, you're the scoutmaster. You do know that it's canceled, right? The whole retreat?
It's not coming back on.
Temporarily right. Canceled, yes. Yes.
It's permanently canceled.
Uh-huh. For now.
Yes, I specifically told the scoutmaster Denny that it was canceled.
He's a bad guy.
For the time being, yes.
When you hand it to Moonshine to sign, she looks really confused and tries to pretend like she knows how to write. She kind of just scribbles with both hands.
She just makes her mark.
I feel like I like whisper to her like an X is fine.
Okay, so she shows you guys out, and as you guys are leaving the temple, she looks at you guys and she says, good luck. May Melora bless you.
And Pelora keep you as well.
She nods.
Thank you.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Do you want one of these little mud spots I did?
No, actually, I do not.
Okay.
It's actually pretty soothing.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's working well on my
it's
acne.
It's the love of Melora.
Beverly is covered in acne.
You do have a lot of that.
Uh-huh. So should we head for the bay?
Yes.
Let's go to the bay.
Hooray!
Let's do it.
Dope. So you guys
Beverly
walk.
Tries to do the linked arms.
Yeah. I try to link arms with both of them and skip.
I'm good.
You guys walk through the village, and as you get down to the docks and the bay, as you approach the water, it gets brighter and brighter. You can see the water lighting up in like a bright translucent white with a pale blue glow. And even from here, even from like 20, 30 feet away, you can see movement in the water of like the various fish swimming around. By the dock, you see that there are several like small fishing boats docked there. And sitting on the dock is a singular half-orc barbarian with like a ponytail.
Huh.
And he looks more like a shaman. He's got like pelts and stuff. And you see he's kind of meditating on the dock there.
We could try to charm this guy. Although if he's a shaman, he probably has...
He's meditating, right? Couldn't we just sneak past him?
You see him just... Right now, he has his back to you. He's looking out at the water. So you kind of...
We have water walk, though, bitches.
Yeah, all right.
Who needs boats?
That's just we should... Like, should we save it in case something happens to
Murph, just to paint a picture, he's at the end of, like, a long, narrow dock. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Why don't we just, like, walk off the side of the dock and go around him?
You can literally do whatever you want. Do you want to avoid him? Do you want to speak to him? What do you want to do?
I feel like if he's a shaman and he's meditating, I feel like we could
maybe... What if we just left a note at his...
He does have the same same ponytail of like the other barbarian dudes.
Okay.
So he's definitely with them.
All right.
From what you can tell.
Yeah.
Should we try to sneak? Yeah, I think we should just try to sneak around him.
Yeah. Should we try to give him a wedgie?
No, Beverly.
Okay. No.
That was Caldwell talking. Beverly.
You're a good boy.
So do you guys want to take the kind of long way around?
Not the super long way. I'm thinking we just kind of like start from the beach and like tiptoe, water tiptoe around this guy.
Okay.
And stealth.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys walk far away. Are you guys going to use the scrolls or are you guys going to try to take a boat?
I vote boat, and then like, we got
the
scrolls.
I think that's a good idea because the scrolls
put the
only
kids
last
in the boats.
So long.
Oh, use the scrolls as a backup. Cool.
Yeah.
Murph, double checking the Explorer's Pack. Does it have a telescope in it? A little spyglass?
You can have a spyglass if you'd like, sure.
Oh my gosh, we should get a boat that looks like a fishing boat, so if he sees us, he thinks we're just late night fishing.
Smart. Yeah, good, good, good.
Okay. All right,
so there are only kind of small fishing boats since his village has kind of constantly been in peril. There's never been a time where they've had like big commercial fishing boats or anything, but you guys can take like a small fishing boat.
Yeah,
if you'd like.
And we're going to set up the fishing line so it looks like we're just
a little
like,
trawler.
Okay, cool. So you guys kind of buy...
Just like you pretend you know how to ride, I pretend I know how to set up a fishing
line. So you guys bypass this dock and kind of get away from this barbarian dude, and you guys walk further and further down the bay. Does somebody want to give me a search check?
Yeah.
Who's good at it?
Is search a skill? Why do I keep telling you guys to do
search
that?
Perception?
Yeah, go ahead and give me a perception check.
All right.
I got 18.
18. Great.
That's great.
Yeah, you find a boat that has some fishing poles like tucked under the seats.
What about some worms and some bait?
You do not find that. They're not just going to leave their worms in their boat.
I leave a note and some gold.
In the boat that you're taking?
No, in the fishery.
Oh, okay.
To Got say it. Like thank you for letting us borrow your equipment.
He great. Signs his name for some reason and I cross it off.
You write a different name.
Okay. Yeah. So Denny, you guys
cool. Denny.
Is this my nickname?
So you guys take off on the boat.
Uh-huh.
You guys get out into the bay. As you are riding across the bay, you can see all the fish swimming up. And it is so easy to fish here that literally big yellowfin tuna and stuff are like just like jumping in your boat, flapping at you and smacking you in the face.
I think I'm just scooting them out. I'm kicking them back out.
Wait, I feel like we should hold on to them. We could maybe use them to bargain with later on.
Or eat.
Or eat.
I think you guys can hold on to them. I'm probably just kicking them back out, being like, get.
Yeah. Pawpaw's just furiously eating a halibut. tearing at one.
Pawpaw. Yeah.
I feel like how long a journey is this?
Not super long.
Okay, so I wouldn't have time to like skin a fish and like...
Be like, it'd probably be like 15 minutes.
I could skin a fish in 15 minutes.
Okay.
We eat sushi.
Yeah, I prepare sashimi for everyone.
Great.
All right,
Beverly makes some
What's
really
this?
Great sushi.
What's this half-eaten
that everyone,
food?
Everyone gets super sick from. Roll for how many bones you swallow. So you guys get to the other side of the bay, and you find this abandoned, dilapidated dock. You see that the wood is soaked through with water damage. You see spots of green moss and fungi. A few jagged planks stick out across the walkway.
Can I collect some of that fungi?
Sure, you go over, grab some fungi.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what kind is it?
Let's see. Let's roll and see if it's poisonous. It is safe to eat.
Well, I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to put it in the spore library.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like a blue cap
So
mushroom.
This is like a little island?
No. So it's a bay, so it kind of is like a sideways horseshoe into the land. So south of the bay is the south side of the bay is a village, and north of it is the swamp.
Okay.
So it's this big expanding swamp. So you guys standing on this dilapidated dock facing out from the bay, you see this great expanding swamp, and you see the hanging leaves of like the mangrove grove trees and the weeping willows make it like impossible for you to see through. You do notice, though, at like the edge of the swamp, you see a broken spear and a longsword stuck in the mud.
Broken spear and a longsword stuck in the mud. Okay. So presumably that's some sort of like warning to like stay away.
Or an entrance.
or they could be like, people guarding that area and they just like went to take a pee or something.
Can we do like a perception check or something like that?
Go ahead and do like an investigation check.
Murph, while Emily's doing that.
You guys can all roll for investigation.
I got 18.
Perfect.
Oh, hell yeah.
There was a fight here. There was clearly a fight here.
I got a 4, so hard one looked around and didn't see shit.
Hard one doesn't see shit.
Looks fine to me.
Yeah, he still thinks that maybe somebody left it as a mark that it's the entrance. There was definitely a struggle here. You see that somebody was dragged into the swamp.
Gotcha.
Do I see anyone like in the trees or anything like that?
No, you do
we
not
see
hear.
Maybe any torn neckerchiefs or merit badge sashes?
You do not hear, but you know you do notice that when you pick up the longsword, you see that it is identical to your green teen longsword.
Huh. Guys, this sword is identical to mine.
What do you think that means, Beverly?
Beverly thinks for a little too long about it.
Silent minute.
Someone hasn't gotten his critical thinking badge yet.
Still working on that one. I think that the green teens were here. Before we proceed, I want to ask, when Shay healed us, did that replenish our spell slots and whatnot?
No.
Okay, cool. Great.
Cool, good.
And it didn't do anything for my acne either.
I feel like it cleared it up a little bit. I'm looking fresh-faced. I'm looking good. All right. I wonder if I could... I don't think there'd be magic on these bullywogs. I don't think I can, like, use this... I don't think I could detect an aura on this sword or anything like that. Although, could I detect the magic from the other green teens?
No.
Okay.
The purpose of detect magic is to, like, see if something is magical. Like, if you go to a door or something and it's sealed closed, you can see if there's a spell holding it closed. It's not to, like, track
okay.
someone.
We're going in blind.
Y'all, I think we got to stealth in because I'm getting goose pimples. This place.
So you guys do see her investigation check was really good. You do see someone was dragged in there, and you do see that it is pretty easy to follow the tracks because it's super thick muck.
Okay.
Can we stealth in a boat?
You're not in the boat.
Yeah, we're walking. Right, we're walking through the muck now.
Okay. Yeah, we're off the boat.
Ooh, we're in the muck.
Yeah, let's follow the track nice and stealthy. Yeah.
Yep. Sounds
okay,
good.
you guys are stealthing. Everybody go ahead and tell me in what order everyone's going. Is somebody like scouting ahead or is
Who has the best stealth?
I have nimbleness. It would probably be me.
It would probably be you.
It should say you have a
Although
stealth
you're
skill.
You're also wearing heavy armor.
Yeah, you're not going to be great at stealth.
My stealth is +2.
Okay. I'm only +2.
No one's good at stealth?
It's under dex. I'm +4.
Okay.
+4. Okay, so Hardwon goes first. Okay. Then I'll go. And then we'll keep little.
So are you guys following at enough of a distance that Hardwon's going to kind of run into any trouble before anyone else is? Well, or are you guys close together?
I feel like we should let Hardwon be the scouting party.
All right. So you're like 20 feet ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you cool with that?
Cool. So you're going to be the primary stealth role because you're the one that's kind of scouting ahead. So Hardwon starts going after these checks.
Oh, fuck.
That's a 9.
Huh.
That's not a...
I should have... Wait, a swamp wouldn't count as woods, right? Mask of the Wild wouldn't have any effect here?
Mask of the Wild?
That's very cool.
Yeah, that counts as
It means in
woods
it's easier for me to hide.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Oh, yeah.
I should have gone first. We'll know for the future.
Yep. Okay. But for now, Hardwon just is making loud sounds in the mud walking.
She's like...
It's sucking up my boot.
Yeah, Hardwon like sneaks forward 2 steps, then like steps on a bird.
So hard as
that would have happened to anybody.
Hardwon, as you walk ahead, you turn just in time to see a spear being thrown at you, a spear hitting right towards you. And that is going to be a 17 to hit. Does that hit you? What's your AC? 16. It does hit you.
Damn it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like we're about to hit that niche.
Hardwon's going down.
You got hit for 7.
Oh, boy.
So you got hit with a spear for 7. Everybody go ahead and roll me initiative.
All right.
Okay.
Actually, wait. There's 2 of them. Sorry. The other guy's going to throw a spear at Hardwon in a surprise round.
Oh, cool.
And he's going to hit 2. I'm so sorry, Hardwon.
Oh, dude. No.
Another 6.
Wait, so that's 12 total?
12 total.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so everybody roll on his
spear. Hardwon just, like, collapses.
Don't worry, guys. I got this.
This is such a good turn from Hardwon in episode 1 where he was so confident and cool.
I know.
Right after I got fully healed by the druid lady too.
I got a 10.
I got a 11.
What'd you get, Hardwon?
11. But is that plus?
Yes,
what?
Plus your dex.
4.
Dope. So 15.
15.
Hardwon, you get to respond.
Woo!
So you turn
runs.
And you see these beady
dead sprint to wherever Denny is.
So you kind of you can kind of sprint towards where you saw the spears being thrown, and there are 2 of these bullywugs, these little frogmen who are probably like 4 feet tall and kind of burly, kind of like dwarves.
This is bigger than a creek bullywug.
I point to them and say, "Those are bullywugs."
Thank you, Beverly.
So you can swing on them if you want, or you can do whatever you like.
Yeah, I'm fucking pissed.
Okay.
Great axe coming out straight for this dude's dome. Try to split him in half from the head. And
oh yeah, you hit.
Hell yeah.
You hit
the dome crusher.
17. Oh man.
So 9.
So you hit for 13 total.
Yeah.
You do fucking cut this dude down. You just smash this fucking frog. The other one like fucking
Big
looks
boy.
So scared. That is Moonshine. You're up.
Okay, I'd like to cast Entangle, like with the mangrove.
There's only
roots.
One.
Oh, there's only
and
one
the,
left.
And one is dead. So these guys are not.
Oh,
this
sweet.
You know.
This seems like a scouting party or some sort of a exploratory vessel.
I think Beverly would be correct in assuming that.
I'm just gonna straight up try to hit him with my scimitar. Just keep it simple.
Moonshine runs up. That's a 2 that you rolled.
That's gonna be a 2. But I am still gonna Halo spore him for 3 because I'm
okay, so you shoot some spores at this dude and he does not like it. He does not like it one bit.
Does he sneeze?
Yes, he sneezes a little bit. He just a little. Beverly, you're up.
Okay, Hardwon. What's your HP?
I'm at 10.
Looks like half. I'm going to kind of run up and latch onto his back.
And I hate when he does this.
Yeah. It's never happened, but you know that you hate it. I'm going to use touch hands.
Lay hands, you mean?
Lay hands. Touch hands.
He's just going to touch him?
Just wants to high five.
I high five him. Great. And he's healed.
I believe it's 10 health.
I'm back. That's
full. Healing for 12.
Dang.
Now it is the
Bullywug's
turn.
This little youngin is powerful.
He's going to take a swing at...
They don't make youngins like you.
He's
going to
take a swing, another swing at Beverly. Or wait, not Beverly, hard one.
No, I'll save that. Never mind.
This dude... freaking dinked off your axe. You were able to swing it back around and block this dude. Hard one's back in control.
Back in shape.
After getting his ass kicked by some frogs.
Uh-huh. Making a lot of noise and taking two spears.
Hard
I
one,
do remain on his back.
Hell yeah. Swinging for the dude's throat.
What is that, a 14 total? 14 a hit? That does not hit.
Fuck me.
This dude, you swing your axe, he blocks it. He has a shield. That takes us to Moonshine.
Help me.
All right, Moonshine's coming with her scimitar again.
Do it up.
That's going to be 18.
Ooh.
18 hits.
That's what's up.
For hitting him for 3.
Uh-huh.
And okay. Then another sportific kiss.
This dude's fucked up. He's on death's door.
So that's 6.
He looks pretty hurt. That's you, Beverly.
From Hard One's shoulders, I ready a javelin.
Okay.
So that's +5 to attack. Let me roll.
You're just going to toss a javelin at him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, well, I already rolled it and it's an 18.
Okay, yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah, so I throw that. Is that going to be a hit?
Yes, definitely.
All right, that's going to be a d6 +5. That's 8.
8, okay. Yeah, you javelin this dude.
It's only +3.
No. Oh, yeah, so it's a 6.
Okay,
sorry.
So 6. So still, this dude was almost dead. Uh-huh. You see he was like coughing from all the toxic spores. Just gets fucking javelin through the head. He sticks to the tree behind
him. Oh, that's okay, awesome.
Is he dead?
He's super dead.
Okay.
Can cool. I search so his body for any interesting fungi?
Yes.
We should do a search.
His body. He definitely does not have any interesting fungi on him.
But he has some uninteresting
fungi. He's got like a little shield. He's got a little wooden shield. He's got his spear. And he also has a burlap sack.
Ooh. Let me go through that sack.
Yeah.
You open up the burlap sack.
Hoping it's mushrooms inside.
And it is empty.
Can we empty? Check the other one?
The other guy also has a burlap sack.
Okay.
Why are they empty? That's weird.
I just wanted to see if they had any like affiliation sigils or... perhaps like a tattoo or any sort of like identifying marks that would give us information about the larger clan.
Ooh. Nope.
Okay.
They're just bothered.
They're just some frogs.
They're just
some
frogs. Huh.
I can't believe their burlap sacks were empty.
What were they going to put in there?
You know, I think that these might be good for a jambalaya.
Okay, if someone's going to talk about jambalaya, I'm going to make a bonfire and make that some...
Let's are you making a fire right
no,
now?
No, let's focus on the kids.
Okay, that's good. No, you're right. The youngins.
Uh-huh.
We need to do the youngins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
However, can I rip off one of their legs so I can later make a bullywog jambalaya?
Yeah.
Frog legs.
Let me sniff at it and see if I think it's like...
They smell so rank.
Okay.
These guys are disgusting.
Well, sure, you got to cook them first.
I tussle Beverly's hair and I say, I don't think this is going to be the best jambalaya. Oh,
darn,
days.
I'll get that cooking merit patch yet. Not today.
You hang around with me, you're going to get a lot of patches.
All right, guys. All right.
Just focus up. Focus up,
okay,
everyone.
Let's get them youngins.
Onward.
Can't be that mad at Beverly because he healed me.
You travel through the muck. You're pushing like the hanging leaves out of your face. Hard One in Moonshine. The mud is up past your ankles. And Beverly, you're like knee deep.
Uh-huh. Can I ride on Hard One's pack?
is that cool with Hard One?
He hates it, but yes, he allows it.
Yeah, okay, he allows it.
Oh, now you just trailed muck up Hard One's
pack. Thank you, sir.
So you guys are following the tracks left by the bullywugs. It's kind of easy. These guys are stupid, and they just like left these big tracks in a straight
can
line.
Can I go first? I've got Mask of Wild, so I'm using that to like lead the group to because it makes it easier to hide.
Great.
If I'm in the woods.
Cool. So yeah, as you guys are traveling, Moonshine's taking the lead, a little bit more stealthy than Hard One was. Hard One is now carrying Beverly.
I'm like Catherine Zeta-Jones in Entrapment level, like stealthing.
Okay.
Great.
It's like unnecessary.
Just like getting down in the mud, just covered in freaking swamp water. So you guys are able to follow these stupid bullywogs' tracks because they were pretty careless as they went through the mud. But then suddenly things get a little bit more difficult. It looked like they were all walking in a straight line, but now you see that the path kind of diverges. You see to the north a giant puddle, like a big puddle, followed by like a 6-foot wall of mud and the tangled roots of like a mangrove tree hanging out of it. And you see broken roots and like little froggy footprints on the side of it. So you can see that some of them clearly like climbed the mangrove tree. And you see to the right a path in the mud where it seems like something big was dragged.
What? Tell me about this puddle.
What are you doing to the puddle?
Let me at that puddle.
I would like to get to the edge of the puddle and just like look in.
Cool.
Just try and sense depth or what it's made of or anything like that.
Sure. It's pretty murky. You're not going to be able to tell how deep it is by looking at it, but you could stick your foot in or you could put your hand in or something like that.
I'm going to stick my staff in.
Oh.
You stick your staff in. It is not that deep.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Like 2 or 3 feet deep.
I want to inspect the like dragging trail to see if I can discern what was dragged.
Go ahead. Give me an investigation check.
Okay. Let's say 9 plus 2, 11.
Cool, 11. So you don't see any like frog footprints or anything going this way. You just see whatever was being dragged was so big that it sort of cleaned up behind it. And it's just this one kind of mass that's getting dragged.
Sounds like a big burlap sack full of kids to me.
I think so.
Or a sled or something. Okay, so
a sled is very optimistic. Bullywog just captured them for a sleigh ride.
So I can't tell if it was a creature or if like it was a sack. I just know that something big was dragged this way.
That's what you get with a 10.
Fair enough.
Okay, I guess maybe we follow this,
yeah, we
right?
Follow. I'd say yeah, we follow let's follow it.
Okay, so you guys start going.
Wait, what was that wall that they climbed up?
There was
a muddy wall.
Heading straight ahead, there was to the north. You saw that it was like the mangrove tree that was hanging off that 6-foot wall with frog footprints going up it, like they climbed it. And then something big was going to the right.
Oh, okay. I'm a good climber.
I could also turn into a giant lizard, in which case I could climb as well.
That's true, too.
We should follow the track, but I do want to see Emily turn into a giant lizard.
We just have to see what's over the wall.
Then maybe we won't use, if we just need to see what's over the wall, maybe we just use your climbing ability.
Do you want to check what's over the wall before we proceed?
Yeah. Okay. Watch this.
Go ahead. Give me a climb check.
Am I still on his back?
Oh, no. He just rolled a 2.
I was still on his back.
Is he just grabbing onto roots? And
so wait a second, because I have I got a plus something there. That's a 6, I think.
That's
brother.
A 6. So Hard One very confidently leaps over the puddle, grabs onto the mangrove tree. A branch instantly breaks off, and he falls back into the puddle, soaking himself and Beverly.
I offer him.
Go ahead and give me both of you guys. Give me a perception check. Actually, all three of you give me a perception check as you splash into the little puddle.
Of course.
I got a
17.
I got an 11 plus. Yeah, just a straight up 11.
Okay.
Why can't I find it? Oh, wait, 19.
19, okay. Yeah. You, as you splash down in the puddle with Hard One,
right.
You see in the mud a patch, a cooking badge.
Ooh.
Oh, and I'm so juicy. Tempted by this because I don't have that patch. And like my first immoral thought is just to affix it to my sash and claim it as my own. But I think better of it and say,
I see. Friends, I see this because we had just talked about it,
uh-huh.
and I put a hand on Beverly's shoulder, and I say, you're better than this, youngin.
You're right. Friends, the green teens have been this way. This patch, this could have been Erlen, Cran, or Dermon. One of the three. They're the only three in our troop that have this patch.
So it was just in the puddle, right? We still don't know if it was lost,
so
being dragged
how,
or climbed.
How desperate are we to see over this wall?
It was closer.
Or
it was
much
closer to the wall than it is to the track to the east.
So
we gotta get up and over this shit.
Okay, so if I turn into a giant lizard, can I shuttle them over?
It's not a hard climb. He just rolled a 2. You don't need to turn.
Then maybe
into a lizard.
I'm gonna try to do it without even turning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Without even.
Everybody, just give me climb checks.
Watch this.
It's going to be... Just beat a 10.
Is that acrobatics?
We had athletics.
It's athletics.
Okay.
15.
You got it. You.
I looked out at Hardwon from the top and I got just a 10. Shake my
cool.
head.
Okay. Moonshine gets up like... there easily. Hardwon follows up, head hanging down.
Dejected.
And Beverly follows up easily behind Hardwon. The only one who did not get up on his first try was Hardwon Shorefoot.
Said, watch let it be
known.
This.
Let Shorefoot. It be known that Shorefoot is the one who fell.
That's so fucking true.
Hardwon,
about
the trick
me
is to take
guy.
It slowly and steadily.
So as you guys climb up, you're able to pick up the tracks again. The Bullywugs were clearly here.
Huh.
And you continue to follow for a bit. What order are you guys walking in? How are you guys proceeding?
Me first. Still yeah.
Then. Okay. And then we're hanging
Mask
back.
Mask of Wild.
So you guys are walking forward, following the tracks, and the muck is getting deeper and deeper.
Hmm.
Oh, shit.
Huh. Well, I'm back on Hardwon's shoulders.
Okay, you're back on Hardwon's shoulders. So you guys...
You're like, that's why it affected my climbing, because uh-huh. you actually like had to hurt my shoulder before, so that was like...
I've got my spyglass out, and I'm patrolling the area.
Okay, spyglass. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Okay. That's a 3.
Can I?
He's holding the glass.
My spyglass is very muddy.
Can I do a knowledge nature about this rising muck? If I'm like, yeah, sure. I know how why the terrain is changing.
Sure.
20.
Whoa! 20. Damn, you're gonna know everything.
You see,
he gives us a 20-minute lesson about swamp biology.
You see, as you're walking through this mud, you see ahead of you this pool of muddy water, and the tracks stop. You think that might be like quicksand.
Oh, okay.
But you do see tracks. You see tracks up on like a hill ahead.
Without burning my...
Is there a way to get around that? Can we skirt that pool?
You could take the long way around, but you'll need to do some nature checks and stuff to see if you can keep tracking the Bullywugs.
Can we check? I want to like investigate.
Can I? How big is it?
It's about it's 20 feet across.
Okay. Can I then cast Shape Water on it and freeze it? I have a 30. Oh. It says 30 feet.
Yeah.
Do we? Would we know if this was like magical quicksand or if it's just normal quicksand?
You could
quicksand.
Try to detect magic on it if
I
you'd
I don't
like.
Know if I want to burn detect magic on this.
Gotta be honest,
puddle.
It wouldn't be a great use.
Oh, okay, but it does say you can freeze quicksand. You can freeze the water provided there are no creatures in it.
Are there creatures in it?
Well,
should we yell at the puddle?
Can I stick my staff in and see if there's...
Are there
you
any
You
anyone
stick your
in there?
Staff into the muddy water. You do not immediately feel anything.
Okay. Then I guess I'm going to cast Shape Water.
Yeah.
It's only a cantrip, so I'm going to cast Shape Water and try and freeze it.
So Moonshine summons the elements, and you see frost coming.
Oh, Melora.
Frost coming off of her hands as she shoots like
a
ray.
I play my washboard
sure.
to summon.
You play, she strums her washboard. In a beautiful icy tune.
Shamanic.
You see the muddy water freeze, and then a giant fucking snake burst out of it.
Oh,
and everybody
shit.
Roll initiative.
Oh, shit.
Fucking snake.
Melora fucker.
Not a magic snake, though.
That's gonna be a 20.
Good lord, I rolled a 1.
Okay.
Oh, you gotta swap out for some new dice.
I got a 12.
Okay.
Fucking garbage, man.
What'd you get, Moonshine?
Oh,
you
I got get? 20.
Okay.
Ah.
Moonshine,
I got
20. You go first.
Okay. I would like to cast Thunder Wave.
Okay. Go ahead.
Damn.
He does a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
Or he takes 2d8 damage and is pushed 10 feet.
Okay. He got a 9. That's probably not gonna do it.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. 2d8 damage.
So how much 2d8 damage?
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll. 1. 8. So 9
so
plus...
So 9, and then he gets pushed 10 feet.
Okay.
And then I'm also gonna spore him.
Spore his ass, dude.
You shock him, you spore him. Got
3 more.
Cool.
12, bitch! How big is this thing?
He's probably like 15 feet long.
Okay.
He's
oh,
a big
shit.
Ass
How wide?
Snake.
Talk to me about girth. That's what's
thick.
A big
He's thick as fuck.
It's too thick, honestly.
He's
like
as
veiny?
Thick as your neck all around.
Shit. That's big.
That is going to be you, Bev.
Okay. Do I know anything about like this species of snake or any details in particular?
You can roll me a nature check.
All right, cool. Nature check. That's a one.
You don't know shit. You did not get your snake badge.
That lizard is missing its legs. All right.
So I will say you can kind of deduce, like you guys have kind of already figured out that you guys might sink if you go in this mud. So if you run into slash this dude, you did not freeze it. It does not work when there's an animal in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there was a creature
in there. But I pushed him 10 feet. Did that push him out of the water?
No, he's back in there.
Okay.
It's 20 feet long. You can prepare an action that when he snaps at you guys that you swing at him. Though.
I got you.
You can do that.
I think I'm going to... I'm going to throw a javelin. I'm going to launch a javelin from Hard One Shoulders again.
Cool. Nice. Cool, go ahead and throw it.
Okay. That's a 6 plus 5, so
11.
11, yeah.
You throw the javelin, it misses the snake, lands in the mud, and you just see it sink. It's gone.
And as a bonus action, I'm going to cast Shield of Faith. So a shimmering field appears and surrounds a creature of your choice within range, granting it a +2 bonus to AC for the duration. Hard One, that's going to be you.
What do I do?
You get +2 AC. So you're at 18 armor class for now. Cool.
Ooh, awesome.
That
yeah.
is going to be the snake's turn. He is going to snap forward at Beverly, who just threw the javelin at him. And he rolls a fucking one. So he just like fucking face plants as Beverly scoots out of the way.
Does his like little tongue flick my face?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. Nice. In fact, you just like it. He just gives you a nice little lick and you think he's being friendly.
Give me a little snake kiss.
That takes us to Hard One.
What happens is I rolled that one.
Do I? You were you're last.
Oh, I
so
see.
Now you just go.
Great. 12 plus 4? What is it?
16 to hit. Oh, no. You got 18 to hit. So, yeah, you hit.
Nice.
Go ahead and roll your damage.
Whoa!
That's a 12, bitch.
12, baby. Whoa. 12 plus 4, so 16 damage. Damn. Yeah, you fucking slash at this dude and...
Can I do something with my two little axes?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unless, you can... I mean, you could have made your attack with your throwing axes. They do less damage.
Fuck it, never mind.
You can like twirl them. Twirl them if you'd like to just do something for show.
Yeah, that's
okay. So you slash him with your big axe. He rears back and screeches, and you just twirl your axes.
I'm not gonna be satisfied until we Sephiroth this snake.
Cool.
Yeah.
That takes us back to Moonshine.
Okay, I will now use my cantrip Chill Touch. there's nothing chill about what's gonna happen. I'm gonna make a ranged spell attack.
Kay.
Hope it hits. It's going to be 21.
That super hits.
And now he takes 1d8 necrotic damage. He's not undead, is he?
He is not undead. He's just a snake.
All right. Well, he takes 3 damage.
He takes a big 3 damage.
But may I just say, a ghastly skeletal hand came out and grabbed him.
Oh, he's spooked. Yeah. He's super spooked.
Also,
he did not like it.
The hand clings to the target until the next turn. So it's clinging to him.
So a ghastly skeletal hand just kind of lightly slaps him?
Yep.
Just gives him a wet willy. An icy willy.
Stop.
That takes us to Bev.
Come on, Bev.
Okay, I feel like I'm just going to...
You're our only hope, Beverly.
Okay, I guess I'm just going to try and slash at the snake. I'm out of spells.
Slash him.
Let me slash at that snake.
Take a swing.
All right.
Take a swing, baby.
I'm aiming for his gully.
Cool.
16.
That's going to hit automatically.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Roll your D8.
D8. That's a 7 plus 5. So 12.
He screeches. He's pissed.
I did it.
He sticks his tongue out at you.
Guys, I made the snake mad.
That is, oh boy, that's the snake.
Uh-huh. Snake time.
He's going to try to bite at, actually, he'll probably try to bite at a hard one because you're on his back. So he's not just going to go for Beverly.
Our plan is backfiring. Our tower of power is drawing unwanted attention.
That's an 18 to hit, and I believe that's your armor class, so that is going to hit.
Wait. Oh, yeah, shit. Even with a +2.
Yes. So he swings down and attempts to grab Hard One.
Good fucking luck.
And he does 7. He does 13 damage to Hard One.
Wow.
Oh.
And the target is grappled, so you are restrained. So he has wrapped himself around Hard One.
Good. Now, well, not good for Hard One, but...
Now it is Hard One's turn. Hard One, you cannot make an attack this round. You can just try to get out of being constricted by this giant snake.
Cool. Flexing every fucking muscle in my body.
You rolled a one. Hard one. Hard
like
one.
Every time I fail, I feel watch like this.
Hard one.
Watch this.
Murph, can you roll to see how much Hard One shits himself?
Wait, was that the right dice?
Yeah, you rolled a one.
Oh, D20. I was looking at a different
dice. Yeah.
He yells, "Watch this," and then just meekly goes, "Oh." And you hear a little fart let out as he tries to get out. That's you, Moonshine.
Okay. I'm just gonna make an attack. That's all I can do. What's your hit points at?
I'm at 9. But I have that potion that I could.
Okay.
You have a potion.
I'm
gonna
hold up. I do have a. I'm saving a first level cure wounds for you, but I don't know if I'm gonna use it quite yet.
Appreciate it. Save everything you have for me. I'm gonna need it all.
I'm trying to get rid of this, so I'm gonna try to decapitate him with my scimitar.
Sure, go very ahead. Good.
14.
That hits.
6.
Cool.
And then
he looks pretty.
Three more
up.
Spores.
Oh wow. Okay. He's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Back to Bev.
Jake is upset. It is Bev's turn.
All right.
But
so
I didn't decapitate
him. Am I also constricted, or am I like kind of? I imagine
you're out. You were able to jump off Hard One.
So
as this snake came in.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to draw my sword, and I'm going to run along the spine of the snake, kind of spiral up along the constriction,
Aladdin okay. style,
100% Aladdin style. And I guess I'm just going to try and stab the snake
cool.
wherever I can get a stab in.
Yeah, go ahead, roll for Aladdin style.
All right. I scream, "Opa, Aladdin style," and nobody gets it or laughs.
All right. I am hard, bugging,
hard one
about
farts
to die.
Again.
Oh, no.
What'd you get?
It's a 4. What's my shit? It's plus strength, so it's a 9.
9,
but,
okay.
Yeah.
You run up and just slip off. Hard One just knows that Beverly
no!
could have saved him if he had just swung his goddamn sword. He ran up and he yelled Opa Aladdin style, ran up and slipped off after you just farted and shit yourself a little bit.
I definitely fart as well, but not as much. I do a lighter fart.
Moonshine is just like, oh my god, try to keep
Boys.
Up, you fucking idiots.
Okay, so this...
Do I fall into the quicksand?
No, you're okay.
Okay.
That was just for
He's
flavor.
Beached.
That was just
uh-huh.
for flavor. Okay, this dude is going
I
to
drowned.
Just fucking squeeze Hard One again.
No.
Okay, he doesn't manage to, like, he's
nice.
Squeezing and you're fucking flexing your muscles so hard.
This is a contest
so
of will.
So hard that you fight back. That is going to be Moonshine again.
Okay, Moonshine's going to attempt to decapitate him again.
Oh, everyone's trying to decapitate
I'm gonna
him.
Get a snake head. Get a snake head.
I'm going to look in the snake's eyes and be like, you know what we do with snakes down at the crick? We turn them into stew. And then she raises her scimitar. End.
She rolls a 3.
A lot of threes.
Damn.
You guys have missed so many times.
And she loses her grip of her scimitar. She raises it over her head and doesn't do anything.
Oh, I forgot.
But then I do blow spores. I still
blow
spores.
Okay.
3 more damage.
This dude's actually looking real fucked up.
All
right. Hard One. You get to try to get out. You can
oh,
roll
yeah.
another strength check.
Watch this.
17.
17.
All right.
Burst out of the snake.
Boom, baby.
Hard One escapes. That's Bev.
Huh. I guess I will also try. You know what? I'm not gonna try to decapitate it. I'm just gonna just try and get as close to the snake as I can and swipe. I do want to cut it in half.
Okay.
Dope.
You guys are getting fancy for.
All right.
People
I know,
are getting real fucked up.
It's all just for flavor. It doesn't matter. It's just really funny.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
be like, I'm gonna cut it in half while like
yeah.
Hard One's like dead. Hard One's just like, my arm is broken.
I scream. This is for the green teens. It's a 6. Plus 5, so 11.
11.
Yeah.
Does that hit? That does not hit.
All right.
You just barely missed the snake. Fancy declaration.
Yeah, we keep aiming for the bleachers, and it's not working for us.
The snake is going to try to bite Hard One now that he got out. Oh, God, he hits. One.
How many HP does Hard One have?
Hard One, you take 13 damage.
Does that mean I'm dead?
You're knocked out.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Hard One goes
oh,
down in the
shit.
Mud.
Can we, like, administer a potion to him?
Yes, I can
on
also
your turn,
heal
sure.
him.
Okay.
But I kind of want to...
Just kill
like
the snake. Kill
snake
me afterwards.
Snake is close to death. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Moonshine.
All right, I say, once again, you know what we do with snakes down at the crick? We chase them out of our buckets
Every
that we go toilet in. Okay.
Moonshine, snakes don't have ears.
He can't hear you.
Well, maybe he can read my lips. And then I hit him for 17.
That hits.
Yes, okay. Bitch.
Let's fucking kill him.
And then I go 2 plus 2, 4.
4.
Okay. Then right. Close spores.
Okay.
Three more.
He's super
he's
hurt.
He's not dead yet.
He's not dead yet, but he's super hurt.
Can you
hurt.
Just constantly blow spores?
Yeah.
She gets 2 every turn.
Oh, man.
It's my reaction.
Back to hard one or bad? Okay.
Hard one's down.
All right.
I'm just like,
although you will have to roll death saving throws to see how you're like recovering.
Oh,
I'm just like in this snake's face blowing spores at him while he like is surrounding
Moonshine's got the snake. I'm going to run over to hard one and cradle his enormous head in my hands and I guess try to administer this potion to him.
Cool. 2d4 plus 2 HP to
d4
to our friend, okay. Hard one. 4.
4. Right.
Oh, and so keep she rolling. Gave us really good potions.
4. 6 plus 6? 2, 8.
Okay.
So you come back to life up. With 8 HP.
Yeah, right. Maybe I'll do my health potion on myself now.
It is not your turn.
Of course.
It is the snake's turn. And
I say, can you stand?
The snake just bites hard one.
What?
Why did you wake me up for this?
Feels like he's like got something for
he
you.
He actually misses hard one.
Hard one.
Pops back up to life. Instantly combat rolls out of the way after yelling, watch this. Now it is hard one's turn.
Great.
All right, sweet. Kill this little piece of shit.
Dope. Oh, that's
going to
hit.
14.
14 damage. You do 12 damage.
Okay.
Okay. Tell me how you kill this thing, because it is dead.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Hard one.
What a glory hog.
The slow stride comes back. Great axe over the head. And I go straight between his eyes, and I say, what was it? Opa snake style?
Opa Aladdin style.
Opa Aladdin style.
Hard one doesn't even know what it means. He just thinks it sounded cool.
So what happens?
I see the tattoo that on it.
Do he split that snake?
Oh, he splits that snake right in half.
Skull.
Aladdin style, whatever the fuck that means.
Moonshine immediately goes over and starts skinning some of the scales off so she can make a cute bandana.
Right,
so as you guys, we're going to end the session with Opa Aladdin style, everyone covered in muck and snake guts as Moonshine just starts digging into this giant snake.
I would like
another
to...
Another piece for your jambalaya. Don't you already have a bollywog leg?
Ooh!
Now you get a snake's head?
Yeah, yummy, can I sniff yummy. It? Would this make a good jambalaya?
A little snake meat?
Oh my god. No, they're all swamp creatures. It would make terrible jambalaya.
Well, yeah, a little spice to it.
Okay, roll to see. Okay, here, I'll roll to see if this could be a good jambalaya. I'll tell you what.
All right.
If it's higher than a 15, it'll be delicious. It's a 9.
It's fine.
It's edible. It's passable.
The jambalaya is passable.
It's going to be okay.
Okay, we're making a jambalaya.
Okay. You guys are going to make a jambalaya.
Soup is on. I would like to take maybe one of the snake's teeth.
Sure. You can write down.
All right,
snake
cool.
tooth?
Yeah.
Can I go
snake
through
fang?
Its guts and see if it was pregnant?
Oh, shit. We should go through its guts and see if it ate any of...
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Are there any lumps in it?
You go through its guts, and it does not have any halfling children in it, no.
Oh, thank God.
What about its own children?
It did not eat its own snakes, no.
Was it a male or a female snake?
A snake wouldn't be pregnant.
Did it have like a giant snake pussy?
It had a huge snake pussy.
I mark that down.
Great. Cool.
Is its clit fork?
Yeah, you have
is its clitoris fork?
Yes.
Like a snake?
Yep. That's exactly what it is. It's a giant forked snake pussy. Go ahead and mark down snake pussy. You guys have a snake pussy?
I'm just taking the forked clit.
Yeah, great.
I think by identifying
disgusting.
The snake pussy,
right
I do
into
get
the
my.
Jambalaya pot.
I do get my snake identification badge.
Whoever gets the forked clitoris in their bowls, good luck for a year.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, I have it.
Okay, guys, please rate the podcast because this is gold. Let's be honest. Give us that good rating. Follow us on Twitter at Jake Hurwitz, at Caldy, at Eaxford, and at CH Murph.
Yeah, that's
anything
you.
Else, guys?
Oh,
if you want to send a shit for this or 8-Bit Book Club, you can do it at 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Anybody got anything else to plug, watch, or listen to If I Were You, rather?
If I Were You.
Listen to If I Were
Netflix
You with Jake
is
and Amir.
The fall.
Watch Netflix is the Fall. We all really like it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Crown's good, too.
Watch Drawfee on YouTube. And buy me and Emily's book.
Buy our book.
Buy my book. It's called Hey You Up, How to Turn Your Booty Call into Your Emergency Contact, a satirical relationship advice book coming out February 13th. So please check that out. And we'll catch you guys next time. May the Baba Yaga not take you this night, and may Bahamut keep you.
Farewell.
Peace.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.